P-minus 75. Central Plaza, New Birchwood, New Kerguelen. Rather than direct his mothership to New Kerguelen's Sector Zero, as he normally would, Leisha, confronted by the sight of much of his planet's primary city engulfed in flames, instead teleported himself instantly into the much smaller saucer-shaped craft docked within it. Neither craft could be teleported, and his current altitude was such that an instantaneous teleportation to the ground might have caused temporary physical discomfort at a time when he knew he would have to land ready to deal with whatever came at him. Chaos was one word in his mind, carnage another. So soon after New Kerguelen had played host to its first violent death, a direct result of conflict over the Sanctuary Gate's discovery, scenes unlike any other the planet had experienced were playing out in real time. From the saucer, Leisha rapidly but not instantly descended to deal with the issues as best he could. The flames he saw as he neared the ground were licking around the bases of what was left of the city's inner ring of buildings. It looked like the worst was over in terms of the fire's intensity, but this reality offered no emotional respite or consolation, given that it was simply a result of the fire having run out of things to destroy. At last, a sight off to one side of the central plaza proved welcome to Leisha's teary eyes, that of a clear line where protective materials had been placed to prevent the fire from spreading. Leisha looked around intently, taking in the scene. He saw that a full three-quarters of the city's innermost concentric ring of buildings had been entirely razed to ash by the relentless flames that had consumed them, but only sporadic areas of the second innermost ring had been affected, and beyond that, it looked as though the residential areas further out had escaped direct damage. The air was thick and rough, with particulate matter as well as smoke causing Leisha to wheeze like a sick dog as he finally exited his craft and stepped outside.
Leisha, a desperate voice called. Oh, Leisha,
it went on, the tone growing more relieved. Leisha turned in the direction from which the call had originated, realizing only then in his fire-stunned stupor that the entire area was otherwise empty of both bodies and voices. Fire had its way of scaring people away, of course, but Leisha felt tremendous unease upon reflecting that not a single soul could be seen rummaging through the wreckage. From the doorway of one of the fortunately preserved buildings in the safe quarter of the city's innermost ring, a familiar individual stepped forward.
Boon, where is everyone? Leisha asked.
The shelter, Boon replied.
Irony of ironies, Leisha thought ruefully.
That's not to protect anyone from the air or anything else, Boon went on. Well, except maybe from each other. It's so the squadron can keep an eye on everyone. You know, make sure they're all accounted for, but also make sure no one else does anything stupid. We have lost so much, Leisha. We have lost so many.
At this final word, Leisha felt his heart skip several beats. In this context, many was a far worse word than much. What was lost mattered far less than who.
What happened here?
He belatedly asked, almost scared to find out.
Oh, Leisha, things just got crazy almost as soon as you didn't come straight back. 2 minutes in, the quiet rumbles started. 10 minutes later, they were deafening. By the time an hour had passed, it was total panic. Things didn't get much worse after that, if you can believe it was over so fast. But the damage was done. As you can see, the damage was well and truly done. The flames are dying, and their path has been constrained. But the damage is done.
But specifically, what happened? Leisha pushed. Why is the city burning?
A small group, which quickly grew, attempted to rush the squadron's headquarters to seize their weaponry and destroy the gate, Boon sighed solemnly. Ultimately, the squadron saw no choice but to open fire. Some of the weaponry they deployed was intended to neutralize a fairly large group, and it succeeded in one fell swoop. The unforeseen side effect of so much combustion led many to flee to the shelter even before the squadron enforced the lockdown. It has been our darkest day,
Beyond any shadow of a doubt, Lisha. Dozens were killed before the message got through that the squadron would not back down and would follow your orders to—
I did not order any deaths, Lisha interrupted, defensive rather than angry at an individual who he knew bore no responsibility for anything, and upset only at his own feelings of personal responsibility rather than concerned about whatever anyone else might think of the role his parting words might have played in the disaster that unfolded in his absence.
Lisha couldn't remember precisely what he had said to the leaders of New Kerguelen's nominally defunct squadron, who still controlled the planet's weaponry and only means of destroying the gates, but he knew it hadn't been in order to use deadly force.
No one thinks you did, Boone said, seeking to reassure Lisha. Some do blame you for making the journey, of course, because what has happened since you did was worse than what most could have conceived in a worst-case scenario. Lisha, why did it take so long? What were you doing?
It said a lot that Boone, New Kerguelen's planetary historian and an alien who was without question his planet's closest analog to Earth's Billy Kendrick, didn't even ask what Lisha and his trio of human companions had found. Boone lived for cultural knowledge and discovery, but all of that paled utterly in comparison to the devastation that had been brought upon his planet by a contagious fear that reached its crescendo only an hour after Lisha and the humans crossed the gate. Boone himself felt a degree of responsibility, since it had been one of his discoveries within New Kerguelen's Hall of Memories that gave confidence to the traveling party that their trip would be safe. Boone saw now that the trip itself had been safe, but its effects had been damaging beyond belief, and so great that he wondered whether New Kerguelen's society would ever recover. Lisha, uplifted with telepathic abilities greater than anyone aside from his equally adept partner Sacco, heard these unvoiced fears as they swirled in Boone's mind, even though the latter didn't consciously send them his way.
Of course we will rebuild, and of course we will recover, Lisha said, trying to keep his tone relatively gentle but having a limited degree of success. We survived the architects and the fallout of finding out what they'd done to us, and we rediscovered this city after thousands of years. We can rebuild it, Boone, but first we have to regroup. Where is Sacco anyway? Please tell me.
He is okay, Boone replied. He is assisting the squadron at the shelter, for he carries more respect among the general population than they do. Not as much as yourself, as we all know, for one reason or another, but certainly more than the squadron commanders. The longer the day has gone on, the more I have expected him to provide me with an update, since he encouraged me to take every care in protecting our cultural artifacts and said he would let me know if anything changes. But perhaps all I am to read into his lack of contact is that nothing has changed. Lisha nodded. He was glad to hear that his close partner was okay and sent him a very quick telepathic thought across the distance between New Kerguelen's Grand Plaza and its great shelter, a distance no others could telepathically communicate across, to succinctly state that he was back from Sanctuary and would return as soon as the humans were home. Lisha asked Sacco to keep the news to himself, promising it would only be minutes until they could address the troubled population together. With this done, and with a characteristically unemotional acknowledgement from the doubtless overwhelmed Sacco having arrived in reply almost immediately, Lisha took a slow and deep breath.
How could it all happen so quickly? He lamented.
Terrible things usually do, Boone replied ruefully. As I said, the worst came after only an hour. The squadron opened fire and ultimately heavy fire on those who were assembling to storm the command center. Once order was restored, far too many lives later, they corralled the population into the shelter. It has to be said, however, the overwhelming majority of the population sided with the squadron and saw the necessity in their actions. Lawlessness is not in our makeup, as you know, and even when fear grew over the gate and people began to panic, there were never more than a few voices calling for it to be destroyed while you were on the other side. You, that is, but more to the point, Dan and Tara. You know how they are revered.
The squadron, despite our differences in the past, were the only line of defense against the reckless destruction of the gate. So, while I wouldn't say you owe them anything apart from an explanation, I do.
Of course, and I'll explain everything, Leisha said, concentrating on Boone's words even as his eyes darted around in what looked like a distracted manner, but was in fact a rapidly studious survey of his home planet's fire-ravaged central plaza.
Later, I have to get the humans home, and if all is relatively well on Earth, I will be back soon. You can always reach me, Boone, via Sacco. If you call, I will come. But depending on how much I am needed on Earth, I may otherwise stay to assist the humans. Like you have stressed, the damage here has long since been done, and the squadron are doing the right thing now in keeping everyone composed within an observable, well, cage. That's what the damned shelter was, so we might as well stop beating around the bush. Sacco is with them too, and he is more than capable of assisting in the maintenance of order.
At long last, as he sensed Leisha was about to leave, Boone leaned in close.
What did you find on the other side? Was it really the sanctuary planet spoken of in the transcript?
I'll be back soon, Leisha said, neglecting to tell Boone much about sanctuary right now, including that Billy Kendrick was, in fact, still there.
But I have one last question before I go.
Go on. Boone encouraged, intrigued by the hard-to-read shift in Leisha's tone.
Okay. How long were we gone? Leisha asked.
Boone looked at him with narrow and concerned eyes.
What do you mean?
How long were we gone? Leisha repeated, failing to see where there was any room for misunderstanding.
Roughly,
how long do you think you were gone?
Boone whispered, leaning in close despite the fact that no one else was around. Something about the nature of this conversation made him very uneasy, and this was reflected in his voice as well as his body language.
Did something strange happen when you crossed that gate? It was today. You've been gone for less than a day. Tell me that's what you thought, Leisha. That is what you thought, isn't it?
Leisha nodded easily and honestly, relieved to hear this. He hadn't expected anything different, but when the architects were involved, he knew better than to make any assumptions, however safe they might have felt.